Hello, everyone. It's 10:30. Time to reconvene. If I might have your attention. Please, I would like your attention. Thank you. Jonathan graciously tells us that he will share a copy of his speech with me, and I will send it out to delegates. And you may publish it in your newsletters, do as you wish, but please maintain the attribution. All right, now I'm going to introduce Mary Schneckenberg, who has some announcements for us.
There you go. Good morning, everyone, again. Thank you, Judy. A couple of things. I'm going to go through the sponsors. Now, I know the sponsors are listed in your program, but I think we need to say thank you. The first sponsor is, we just happen to be lucky to be at the beginning of the alphabet, Accessible Information and Communications Limited. That's Clive and Mary. But the second sponsor is also really important to us. Audio Described Aotearoa Limited will be with us on Tuesday afternoon as part of the trip to the museum. Then also we have Bargain City Pakuranga, Belinda Borrow Box, Blind Low Vision Education Network NZ, that's Blends. Now, two bits of their organisation, administration services, but also accessible format materials, have done a big chunk of our braille. CCS Disability Action Auckland Branch, Auckland Co-op Taxis, you've seen a few of those. The Grand Millennium Hotel itself has done a number of different things for us. International Council on English Braille, Jen and I still have to talk about the final dollar value of their contribution, but they've been incredibly generous talking to us about what they're going to help us with the costs. There's also the Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind, known as Blind Low Vision NZ. Their accessible format services has also helped. Equipment Solutions, Guide Dog Services, some kind of nifty treats for the dogs. Volunteer Services, PB Technology, Manukau City, the Warehouse Botany Town Centre, Tiger Turf Asia Pacific, Tactile and Technology Literacy Centre, Te Pāti Māori, and so all of those organisations have sponsored something for us, and we're very grateful to them. The other thing I want to tell you about is something that Judy tells me you guys already know a lot about. People from the US know a lot about, but I would imagine elsewhere too. Tonight, there is a nationwide test of emergency mobile alert. Between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight, there will be a nationwide test, right? It's a test of the emergency mobile alert system. This is carried out by the National Emergency Management Agency in New Zealand. And I'm asking you for about the fourth time, remember this is a test. In theory, all mobile phones should receive the test message. If not, please don't worry, because it's a test. All right, so those are the two pieces of information I wanted to share with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am a child of the nuclear war era, and so when I was a kid, we often heard, this is a test, this is only a test. If it had been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed. Yes, so these are very familiar to us in the US. We were ready for anything. I wanted to tell you about the sharing table. There are two tables as you come into the room. There are two tables on the left, and these are for If people have brought things that they think would be of interest for others of us to have hands on, I put the book with the tactile flags and the descriptions. If you find something you want to read, take back to your table, take it back to your table, read it, and put it back on the sharing table. So sharing doesn't mean you get to take it home. It means it's being shared with you while you're here. There'll probably be a few things at the end that some of us say, you know, if somebody's particularly enamored with, we might let you have it, but we'll deal with that later. But just, that's what it's there for, and there will be various things probably coming and going as time goes by. All right. Any other housekeeping items before we go on with this morning's? We have lots of little bits and pieces of business to cover. No? Okay. Confirmation of the minute secretary, just to let everyone know that ICEB secretary Frances Mary DeAndrea will be taking minutes. Approval of the agenda. Sorry? What?
Pardon me, this is Frances Mary. Were we going to confirm the 2020 minutes?
Not yet. It comes further down in the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being on top of it. We're going to approve this agenda first. And I'd like to do this by a vote, please. So does anyone have anything to add to the agenda, change the agenda, etc.? No? All right. Clive, were we able to get the internet back?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, good. Good. He'd lost the internet, but we looked all over the room for it, and I guess it got found. All right. Maybe let's try this with a voice vote. Can I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
Canada moves.
Thank you. Canada moves the approval.
New Zealand
seconds. Thanks very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right. Thanks very much. The speaking protocol. Now, in the past, many of you who are longtime attendees at ICEB General Assemblies may recall that ICEB typically has a speaker's monitor. And what the speaker's monitor is a sighted person who watches for hands raised. I have decided I don't want to do it that way. So what I would like to do is, if you want to speak, if you would just quietly but audibly speak your last name, and I will recognize you as in due course. So let's see if this works. I hope it will. If not, if it doesn't work, I will import a sighted person to be a speaker's monitor, but I think we can do this. So let's try. Voting rules, as all of you know, each delegation gets one vote. I've asked the delegations to please work on, and those of you who have hybrid delegations will be a bit of a challenge, but please manage the process of speaking to everyone in your delegation before you cast your vote. And if you need time to accomplish this, I understand these can be difficult things to manage. So just let me know, and you know, we can delay a vote if need be, or whatever we may have to do to accomplish it. This is all new. We've done all in person. We've done all virtual, but hybrid voting is even the most complicated of all. Yes?
How are we going to handle Zoom people who want to speak?
Clive is going to tell me if anybody he's not sighted, so it's okay. sorry, I couldn't help it. Clive is going to tell me if anybody on Zoom raises their hand or wants to speak or does something that needs to be acknowledged. All right? Any other questions? Any other issues before I get into the president's report? All right, we will go on to the president's report. This report covers the quadrennial period from the conclusion of the 7th General Assembly, which took place virtually from the 18th to the 22nd of October 2020, until the 8th General Assembly, which takes place from the 25th to the 30th of May 2024 in Auckland, New Zealand, where we are now. The work of ICEB has moved along at a fairly steady pace for the past 4 years. In 2020, when I began my term as president, I told you that I had 3 goals for the next 4 years. They were increase visibility, expand capacity, and grow the financial base. These are not the kinds of goals where we can look at one thing and say, we did it, we're done. These goals are much more incremental. But they are goals that we can work toward and think about as we undertake our activities. Let's have a look at ICEB's accomplishments for the past 4 years and see how close we came to advancing those goals. We began the term by co-opting 2 additional members onto the executive committee, Mary Schnackenberg from New Zealand, and Natalie Martiniello from Canada graciously accepted the invitation to join the executive committee. Both have been extremely helpful and have contributed greatly to the work of ICEB. After a 3-month trial period, the executive committee agreed to begin holding meetings monthly instead of quarterly. This has proven to be very beneficial toward accomplishing our goals. The meetings are now held via Zoom instead of telephone, which has also been very helpful. We no longer have to either pay for teleconference calls or prevail upon one of our members to provide this service for us. Since no delegates from Nigeria participated in the 2020 Virtual General Assembly, and we had been unable to contact anyone from that country, the executive committee agreed with that the membership of Nigeria would be suspended. We would graciously welcome them back should circumstances change. After the 7th General Assembly, an immediate task was the revision of the Constitution. In 2020, the recommended constitutional amendments were not distributed 60 days prior to the start of the GA, as the ICEB Constitution requires. To deal with this, we created a listserv for ICEB delegates only. We called for a vote from each country on the proposed constitutional amendments on Monday, 30 November 2020. The 7th General Assembly passed 8 resolutions, and the ICEB Executive Committee has made great progress on most of them. You will be hearing more detail about the progress we've made on the 2020 resolutions a bit later. During the quadrennium, the ICEB Executive Committee had several invited guests to update them on activities of interest. They included Greg Stilson and Willow Free, who I think are actually in the room, from the American Printing House for the Blind in the United States, to talk about the new e-braille format. And Robert Engelbretson, Simon Fischerbaum, and Kay Holbrook from the US and Canada to talk about their research on contracted phonemes. A smaller group met with Sam Dooley from Pearson in the United States to discuss his accessible equation editor project that translates math into Nimeth code. Sam is interested in expanding the project to UEB as well. Technical committees. ICEB currently has 5 code-related committees. They are Code Maintenance Committee, UEB Technical Materials Committee, Braille Technology Committee, Music Committee, and Research Committee. Each of these committees will report during this conference. The UEB Technical Materials Committee was formed in 2021 to give better focus to the technical guidelines. They work collaboratively with the Code Maintenance Committee. The only committee accomplishment that I will report on here is the publication of the third edition of the UEB rulebook. Huge thanks go to Kathy Reeson, former chair of the Code Maintenance Committee, and Matthew Horspool, current chair of the Code Maintenance Committee, and Jen Golden, who assisted greatly with this effort. This edition contains an index which was created by Phyllis Landon. This was a huge task which took several years. A huge thanks to her for this. You'll be hearing more about the rulebook when Matthew gives his report later, and its release is, its actual in your hands release is imminent. Administrative and other committees. Is there any way we could get, is there a door open down there where we're hearing lots of people having a better time than we are? Oh. Thank you. Administrative and other committees. In addition, we have four administrative and other committees. They are finance, constitution and bylaws, public relations, and nominations. You will also hear from each of these committees during this General Assembly. The midterm executive committee meeting was held virtually from June 5 to 9, 2022, hosted by Braille Literacy Canada. It was a very successful and well-organized conference. In addition to our usual committee and other reports, we had a keynote speech from Debbie Gillespie on the importance of Braille, and two special presentations, one from an historian, Philippa Campsie, who Jonathan Mosen referenced in his talk, whose focus was on Charles Barbier and that the traditionally held beliefs about how Louis Braille learned about Barbier's code are not true. There is no evidence for the idea that Barbier created a dot-based code so that soldiers could read in the dark. She said that the historical evidence shows that Barbier never came to the school when Louis Braille was young, and Barbier's system was only demonstrated to students by the headmaster. The other presentation was from a librarian, Catherine Rada, in the music section of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled in the United States, who made a presentation on scanning hard copy Braille. Audio recordings from this conference are available via podcast. In early 2023, Kathy Reeson resigned as chair of the Code Maintenance Committee. The executive committee appointed Matthew Horspool, who has chaired the committee for the rest of the quadrennium. Membership. During the last 2 years, we have been contacted by both Zimbabwe and Nepal, expressing interest in becoming full members of ICEB. Both countries expressed difficulty paying ICEB dues. In April 2024, the ICEB Executive Committee changed the bylaw on membership support of developing countries to waive the membership fee for those countries who meet the criteria of developing country set forth by the World Bank, which is also the criteria that is used by the World Blind Union. Subsequently, from when I wrote this report, Nepal has become a full member of ICEB. So, welcome, Nepal. Codes for Indigenous Languages. Jen Golden coordinated the creation of a document about the development of Braille codes for other languages. This was in response to news of Braille code development being done by persons with no knowledge of Braille, nor linguistics. The document stresses the importance of considering issues specific to the particular language. Braille types and files. The UEB Braille technical, that document is on our website, by the way. The UEB Braille Technical Committee, Materials Committee, has coordinated the creation of a document about Braille types and files. It provides details about how Braille is typically stored and processed by today's computers and summarizes the file formats commonly used to store Braille documents. This document may help sort out some of the confusion that exists around different types of files and formats. Website. For many years, the ICB website was hosted by the American Council of the Blind in the United States. In 2021, ACB decided to discontinue hosting the websites of outside organizations. I moved the website to a hosting service called Hover, where it continues to hover today. Social media. ICEB maintains a presence on Facebook and X, formerly Twitter. Natalie regular posts to Facebook, where we have about 750 followers. Jen Golden posts to X, where we have about 450 followers. In October 2023, Jen created an ICEB account on Mastodon. I don't know how many followers we have there. ICEB newsletter. Since its inception in 2018, 16 issues of the ICEB newsletter have been published. Many thanks to Mary Schnackenberg, who has been compiling the newsletter during the past 4 years. ICEB archives. In March 2024, FM DeAndrea and I met with the archivist at the American Printing House for the Blind in Louisville, Kentucky, in the United States. We received a box of documents from Joe Sullivan, which contains many documents from the early days of ICEB. I have created an ICEB archives roadmap, which is on your flash drives. Please have a look at that and send me any feedback you may have about this. This talks about what kinds of documents we might archive and looking for. Our document collection is fairly complete from 2008 forward, but we're missing a lot of documents prior to 2008. In April 2024, the ICEB Executive Committee adopted a revised set of bylaws. Changes from the previous version include renumbering and reorganizing sections and an updated membership clause. At this General Assembly, we will have papers delivered by experts on Braille and lots of time for discussion about issues that are important to us. Since our primary reason for being is to maintain UEB, we will be devoting an entire session at this General Assembly to a discussion of UEB. I am calling this UEB at 20. This will be an opportunity for everyone to bring their thoughts about what is working and what is needed and how to help set priorities for the next quadrennium. I have a few recommendations for the next 4 years. For the incoming executive committee, I'm telling the new president that, I would recommend that a high priority for the incoming executive committee would be to seek ways to encourage committee members to be more engaged and to seek additional individuals who want to perform tasks on behalf of ICEB. This is kind of part of our increasing capacity. We've made a good start, but we need to keep going with it. I also suggest that committees hold regular meetings and not just have discussions by email. I would recommend that these meetings be at least quarterly. We need to ramp up our activity on technical materials. It has been suggested that we hold a roundtable with users of the UEB technical code. If there is interest, this is something we can organize in the next year or so. I am pleased to have been your president for the past 4 years. If I am elected, this is my campaign speech now. If I'm elected president for the next term, I will be a much wiser person now and hope my second term would be even more productive. We'll hear from the other candidates later. Thank you very much. Before we move on, are there any questions, comments, anything? Yes? Yes?
I just had a question about...
Can you use your microphone, please?
Oh, number six?
Okay.
I just had a question about the Braille types and files. I was wondering about that document, the Technical Materials Committee created. Yes. I wasn't aware of that.
It's on the ICB website.
Uh-huh.
Clive, do you want to say a little more about that? Clive and James. Or James, would you like to?
Yeah.
One of you? Thank you.
So, Mike five.
There we go. Yes, so the document contains all the sort of general, what we might class as basic information if you're in the know, but certainly a whole wealth of curious information if you're not in the know about the basic way ASCII characters are used to represent Braille cells and how they vary from country to country, and then how we can resolve that problem with Unicode Braille, and so on and so on and so forth. It is on the ICEB website, iceb.org. I don't think it's any under any particular page.
Linked from the
homepage. Yeah, the main thing. I'm sure we could discuss the website at much more length at another time, but for now, that's the document. It's available. Is it just an HTML page?
Yes, I think so. The reason for it was that when Google introduced, what's that operating system called? Android, yeah, that one. Android 13, they heard that computer Braille, which we used to call the stuff that was on paper with indicators, was deprecated. And therefore, we didn't need it anymore, so they took out basically what we kind of thought of as ASCII Braille or something, we only had contracted and uncontracted Braille. So it meant you couldn't read BRF files with an Android phone. It was impossible. So we were very distressed about that, and I had a couple of meetings with Google, and we were able to convince them that, because of NLSs and other large libraries who have vast collections of BRF files that people actually want to read, we were able to convince them to put it back, and they have subsequently put it back. But there is some confusion out there among the public when we say, computer Braille is gone, at least in the U.S. when we had a computer Braille code, and now computer Braille is gone. So it's confusing what that ASCII Braille, a code that I use all day, every day, and we don't even have a name for it, I don't think. So it was trying to sort that out.
Oh, thank you. I'll look it up.
All right.
Also,
yes, Matthew. Hello.
I think I'm on the microphone.
You are not. You're not on the microphone, though.
No.
Oh.
I think I'm on number two, either handheld, but
you are handheld.
Yeah, I'm handheld. Try to raise it. Okay. Well, I'm going to come to the next one.
You may be able to turn it off.
Well, I'm trying to.
Did you?
Well,
there you are. It worked.
Yeah, failed.
Apparently, the on switch is in the opposite direction.
Well, you're in New Zealand, remember?
Yeah, I know. And this is the AV guy talking. Goodness me, I mean, it's not looking good, is it? No, I just wanted to pick up. There was something in what Jody said that I thought was quite important. You said in your report that it was owned by the Technical Materials Committee. I'm not sure to what extent it really was owned by the Technical Materials Committee, because it was largely just James and Clive.
Well, it was James and Clive.
Yeah,
Clive. You're right.
So the voting members of the Technical Materials Committee don't need to worry that they missed a vote, was really what I wanted to clarify there.
Good point. Thank you. You're right.
This Bowden, James. Also, just to add confusion, there were two kinds of, quote, computer Braille, unquote. There was the 8-dot code used on typically Braille displays, and there was a modified version of it to be 6-dot Braille, which used another complicated system of prefixes, often 2-cell prefixes, for paper-based computer Braille. And so there's even more confusion about it than that.
Technically, in the US, what you just described, the second thing you just described, is what we called the computer Braille code.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the paper, 6-dot paper thing with indicators. The 8-dot thing for Braille displays, who knows what we call that? Jennifer Dunham, do you have anything to add to this?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I thought you could tell me what it was called.
I think we just talked about no translation.
Yes. Yeah. No trans. Vanna is actually working on a document that has a slightly different focus, but along these same lines. Why having a no translation option is still important. All right.
AV, can you mute 5, please?
Anything else? Okay. Our next agenda item is the outcome, or progress, I guess is a better word, for the resolutions from the 2020 General Assembly. There is a document. I think the way I would like to do this, unless people have objections, is I'll read the progress. I don't want to read all the resolutions. This will be tedious. So I'm going to read the title of the resolution and then the progress. If people think that they need to hear the whole resolution again, let me know. But Resolution 1, UEB support in digital Braille tools. A common theme here. So progress on Resolution 1. James Bowden, chair of the Braille Technology Committee, took the lead on this resolution. He and his committee compiled a list of companies who include Braille translation in their products. Letters were sent to them stressing the importance of keeping their Braille translation software up to date and encouraging them to set uncontracted UEB as the default Braille code for their products. Observations of these companies reveal that many have updated their tables. That's the progress on Resolution 1. Questions, comments? Okay. Resolution 2, availability of Braille during times of national and international crisis. Progress on Resolution 2. Natalie Martignello took the lead on this resolution. She prepared the position statement on the importance of Braille during national crises, which has been posted on the ICEB website. It can be found at icb.com/braille-during-pandemics.html. It was shared on the ICEB announce list, and it was pushed out through our social media platforms. Member Braille authorities were encouraged to share the information in their countries. Resolution 3, affirming the importance of Braille for adults and older adults with acquired visual impairments. Progress on Resolution 3. Natalie Martignello took the lead on this resolution. She prepared a press release that asked organizations to share their adult learning resources with us. Natalie organized these into a list which has been posted on the ICEB website. It can be found at adult-learning.html. Resolution 4. Preserving music Braille presently available only as hard copy. Skipping the resolution, progress on Resolution 4. Jordy Howell, chair of the Music Committee, took the lead on this resolution. She gathered information about the various methods being used for scanning hard copy music. She arranged for a presentation from Catherine Rada of the Music Section, National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled in the United States, to make a presentation at the 2022 midterm meeting of the ICEB Executive Committee. This enabled everyone to become familiar with the various scanning options that are being used successfully and the advantages and disadvantages of each. This presentation has been archived and is available via podcast. Resolution 5, documenting shorthand Braille codes in an online resource. Progress on Resolution 5. James Bowden and Jordy Howell took the lead on this resolution. They gathered information on grade 3 Braille, shorthand Braille, and the Braille user-oriented code. They have compiled a list of resources which has been posted on the ICEB website. It can be found at /shorthand.html. Resolution 6, Marrakesh Treaty. Progress on Resolution 6. We did not have anyone take the lead on this one. South Africa is the only member country that has not been signed on to the Marrakesh Treaty. We have been closely following research on barriers to implementation of the treaty. The difficulties seem mostly to be bureaucratic. Resolution 7, World Braille Council. Progress on Resolution 7. Judy took the lead on this resolution. In 2022, the World Blind Union appointed Kim Charlson as chair of the World Braille Council. Kim confirmed that Judy and Matthew Horspool are members representing ICEB. To date, there has not been a meeting of the newly constituted World Braille Council. And I'll just add here that Martine Abel Williamson will be speaking to us later in the week, and she will update us on the World Braille Council. Resolution 8, New International Manual for Braille Music Notation. Progress on Resolution 8. Jordy Howell, chair of the ICEB Music Committee, took the lead on this resolution. After extensive discussions, it appeared that no international body is prepared to take on this huge task. In 2021, the Music Committee decided to investigate putting together a supplement that contains material not covered in the main document. And Jordy will also tell you more about that when we get to that point in the agenda. Okay, that's the end of the report on the 2020 resolutions. Any questions or comments? No, good. Thank you. Now I am going back to our agenda to see what is next. Okay. First report of the 2024 Resolutions Committee. Christo, would you like to come to the podium or do you want to speak from your table? You may do either.
Mic 3. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's fine from here, thank you.
Okay.
The Resolutions Committee discussed resolutions by email and also obtained feedback from member countries, from the Braille authorities. We had two aims or two guidelines. The one was resolutions must be within the scope of the ICEB Constitution, and they must be actionable. And we then eventually arrived at 6 resolutions. There's been a small friendly amendment afterwards, I have amended the document, and I have some Braille copies here, which we can distribute to member countries so that you can familiarize yourselves with them in the meantime. So there are the six updated resolutions. Obviously, if new resolutions come up during the meeting, we will deal with them, but we have those six ones that have already been prepared. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Christo. We have Braille copies. What are the print readers?
Who cares?
Sorry, we don't have this document available in print.
You know.
Yeah, get someone, find a Braille reader to read it to you. We can email. Well, it's been emailed to the delegates. Do we need to email it again for print readers? Yes.
Mike six. We were emailed the final ones, but there's been a friendly amendment. So,
Christo, do you want to speak about the friendly amendment so that people know what it is? And
yes, before the friendly amendment, the resolutions mentioned mathematics only, but in terms with the guidelines for technical material. And because it's not restricted to math only, but STEM subjects in general, we changed that to technical material, things like that. But that's all. It's resolution 1 and 6 have been changed accordingly.
So it's probably not necessary.
Okay. It's very minor and very friendly.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Before we get to the report of the nominations committee, which is Debbie Gillespie on Zoom, Clive? Okay, we'll be wanting Debbie to unmute very soon. But I want to, it's somewhere later, but I want to do it now. We need to approve the minutes of the 2020 General Assembly. And I did send those out, and in the email I did tell you, now some of you weren't there, and I get that, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but for right now, we need to approve those minutes. So I hope all of you read them, and I would entertain a motion to approve them.
Australia moves.
I'll second.
Thank you.
James seconded.
United Kingdom seconded. FM. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, good. So those are approved. FM, do you want to talk about this?
Yes, Mike, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. We had a discussion about our practice, which has been our past practice, of approving minutes from General Assemblies at the subsequent General Assembly, which is 4 years later, and wondering if that was, in fact, the most efficient process. And apparently the Constitution and bylaws are silent on the issue of the approval process for GA minutes. And since there is a four-year delay in that approval, and very often that means it's a completely different set of delegates, or for the most part a different set of delegates, perhaps we should discuss if this is a process that we would wish to follow for this GA. That is, should we wait then for approval of the 2024 minutes in 2028, or if there is a different process that this assembly would like to adopt.
What we would do is, say after 90 days, we would call for a vote from the delegates who were at this General Assembly and let you guys vote on the meeting that you actually, the minutes of the meeting that you actually attended. Novel idea.
Sounds very sensible.
Is everybody okay with that? So we're going to incorporate this into our bylaws, so it will be clear in the future to future leaders what on earth we're doing. So for now, though, we can have a motion and do this with a motion for this meeting.
Francis Mary, or the United States,
yes,
would like to move that the 2024 General Assembly minutes be disseminated and voted on within 90 days of the close of this GA for voting via for voting of the current delegates via email. Oh, I suppose I'm secretary, so I suppose I should write down what I just said. It's like, oh, should we wait for the secretary to type that up? Oh, that was me.
I have a question.
Yes, James.
Is 90 days sufficient time to prepare the minutes?
FM?
In my experience, yes.
Thank you.
3 months, yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, if it drags on, it just, you know, it's...
Yeah.
I understand.
27.
Okay, are we ready to vote on that motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Ilka. We heard you. Thanks. Opposed? No one. Okay, good. We'll do that, and that will make a lot more sense. Yes?
The minutes are to be prepared in 90 days. When is the vote held? Do we have reading time for those minutes as well built in?
Good point. A week? 2 weeks?
This is FM again.
Yes.
If the minutes then are disseminated within 90 days, then the president of the executive committee could set the voting time.
Right.
Thank you.
We give the online voting in the executive committee is a week, but I mean, I realize this will be a longer document. So, and we might need discussion. We'll ask the next president what to do. All right. So, anything else about that? Done. Good. Thank you. All right. The chair recognizes Debbie Gillespie. Are you ready to? Is she unmuted?
I am.
You are.
I am indeed, Madam President.
Wonderful. Thank you. Take it away.
All right. On behalf of the 2024 ICEB Nominations Committee, I'm pleased to present the slate for the upcoming term 2024 to 2028. Some permutations of note. I like bullets. Members returning to the same position, 2. Returning members in new positions, 4. New members to the ICB Executive, 3. I will now provide the slate as follows. President, Judy Dixon. Judy would be serving her second term in this position. It's worth noting that the president does not represent a member country. Vice President Jen Golden, Canada. And I apologize, I believe I forgot to say where Judy was from, the United States. Jen would be serving her first term in this position. The previous term, Jen served as treasurer of the ICEB Executive Assembly. Secretary, James Bowden, United Kingdom, first term. James served in the previous term as a member at large. Treasurer, Callie Brusegard, United States, first term. Callie is the first one of three new members to the ICB executive. Code Maintenance Officer, Matthew Horspool, United Kingdom, first term. Like the president, the code maintenance officer does not represent a member country. Though Matthew completed the 2020 term in this position, he begins this term, this will be his first term on the ICEB position as per the ICEB constitution. Public Relations Officer, Stuart Lawler, Ireland. Stuart is the second of the new ICEB members, and he will be beginning his first term. Members at large, Kim Barber, Australia, first term. Last but not least, Kim is the third new member of the ICEB executive, and we're happy that this is all happening as it should. Maria Stevens, New Zealand, first term. Maria served in the previous term as the public relations officer. Christo de Klerk, South Africa, first term. Christo was the immediate past president in the previous term. The biographical section of this report, included in your packages, provides more information on each member of the executive. In closing, I'd like to take a moment to welcome the new members to the ICB executive. The field of Braille has many facets, and I'm sure that you will benefit greatly from this experience. I'd like to extend the committee's deep appreciation to the current executive for being so gracious with their time, willingness to answer all our questions, and we had many, and share their insights. It aided us greatly during the nominations process. On a final note, I must convey my sincere gratitude to the nominations committee members, Leona Holloway and Mandy White. Your support and wisdom was truly invaluable. Thank you. Respectfully submitted, Debbie Gillespie, Chair, committee members, Leona Holloway, Australia, and Mandy White, United Kingdom. This concludes my report, Madam President.
Thank you. I was trying not to hang myself on my dog's leash. thank you, Debbie. That's terrific. So nominations, if you have additional nominations, they need to be to Debbie by 5 p.m. today. And we will have elections on Wednesday morning. Yes, sir. James. There's an omission on that slate.
We currently have no member in the slate, in the proposed slate for Nepal.
That's true. This slate was created prior to Nepal's membership. I think Mr. Ariel will be the delegate to the executive committee.
Yep. So can I propose Mr. Ariel be added as a member at large for Nepal?
Debbie? I have no problem with this, Madam President, if the executive so wishes.
Yeah, I think, do we need to vote on this, or is this just a friendly amendment?
I think it's a friendly
amendment. So I do too. Yeah, okay. All right, FM, you got that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you, James. Anything else on nominations? Okay, we are a little ahead of schedule, and it's always difficult to predict how long things are going to take. Some things take longer than we think they're going to. Some things take less time than we think they're going to. We could move something forward. I'm totally fine with rearranging the agenda as needed. So if anybody thinks there's any good reason to, if there's something else that could be moved forward that we could do now, we could talk about something that might be on your mind. We could take a break till 12 o'clock. We have lots of options. So what would anybody have a proposal for what we should do now?
Madam President, can I just make one remark?
Yes, James.
Following on from...
What microphone
five.
Are you on? Thanks. Yeah. Okay.
Just one remark following on from Jonathan Mosen's wonderful talk this morning. Jonathan mentioned that... Braille effectively made the sort of dotified or pixelated version of print characters. There's another achievement which I'd like to credit him for, which involves Braille music. We have a system in Braille music of octave signs, and we divide the spectrum of pitches into various octaves, beginning at the note C and going up to the note B. And it's worth perhaps mentioning that the electronic music industry, some 150 odd years later, has pretty much adopted exactly the same system.
Hmm.
So, for example, A440Hz, which is the concert A pitch, is commonly called in the electronic music industry A4, which any Braille music reader would know is fourth octave A. It's exactly the same. So that's another amazing credit to Monsieur Braille. Thank you.
That's very interesting.
Golden.
Yes, Jen. Thank you. Yeah.
Incoming. Sorry. I was just going to say that if you wish, I could do the treasurer's report now, but if you'd prefer to leave it in its current spot, that's also fine too.
No, that's a good one to take now, I think.
All right. I guess I still need this microphone. Okay.
Right.
Oh, how did that happen? I closed my document. Okay. So...
Can you make it take a half an hour?
Sure. If people ask lots of really detailed questions about all sorts of geeky international wire transfer things, it absolutely
can. I was kidding.
I know. I would much prefer it didn't take half an hour.
Right. Me too.
I would much prefer that if people really want to know about that stuff, we could talk about it over a beverage. Okay. So what I've done is you have the treasurer's report in your package. I'm going to just go over a couple of highlights. But the one thing that I do... that I do want to do, for what that, what kind of sentence that works out to be, is what I've done is because we needed to get the reports out a couple of months in advance, what I've done is included in my report, my version of it, the most current numbers from May 18th. So just about a week ago. So what I'm going to do is just kind of go through the report, but when I get to that, if you happen to be really keen and you're following along and you think, where should I get these numbers from? What's going on? That's what's going on, is that I actually have more current numbers than you do because I had the advantage of being able to check the account last week. So that being said, I'll just jump right in. So this report, again, as with so many other things, is a summary of what's happened between 2020 to Well, in your case, March 2024, in my case, May. Unless otherwise specified, all the dollar amounts I mentioned will be US dollars. And the reason for that is that in Canada, it's very straightforward to get a US account. And I had originally thought that because our membership fees are set in US dollars, that it might be pretty straightforward also to have a US account. And it has proven to be a bit of a mixed blessing. In some ways, it's an advantage. In some ways, it could be a little bit on the frustrating side. But if I were to do it again, I don't know that I would do it. But I also, at the same time, don't feel that it was, you know, a horrible choice to have made. So I'll go through these accounts in a minute, but we have what I've sort of called the general operations account. It's sort of the money, the account where the membership fees would go into, and that's in US dollars. And we have a GIC, which is a guaranteed investment certificate. And in Canada, you can get these primarily in Canadian dollars, but you can also get them in US dollars. And so that's what I did for that. And then we have a Canadian account, which is sort of more of a, I needed to have a Canadian account in order just to do anything online at all. And also when you're transferring or converting currency, you need a Canadian account. And of course, for the credit card that we have, we have to have a Canadian account as well. So I don't know that I'm going to go through, Madam President, unless you would like me to. I won't go through all these numbers in detail. For those of you who are so inclined, I'll let you look at the previous balances on your own. And if you want to come and talk to me at any point this week about them, I don't, maybe Bill Jolly does. you can come and talk to me about those after. But what I've done is given previous year-end balances of the US, the Canadian account, when it was applicable, because we didn't always have the Canadian account, and also of the GICs. So there's year-end balances from 2020 to 2023, and some 2020 to 2023 totals, which, again, is sort of how much, let's see here, 2020 to 2023 totals in terms of our income. Well, I guess I'll just highlight this. This is a little bit, kind of sounds exciting. $14,044.83. Our expenses were $2,856.13. So our net income was actually $11,188.70. The interest on the GIC in those 4 years was $440.93. I will say that because we didn't have an in-person, we haven't had an in-person meeting up until now since the midterm in 2018, that's one of the reasons that our expenses were so minimal. Let's look, the income to date for the current year, I guess that's a little bit more maybe interesting, $2,482. These numbers are actually different than what you have because I updated that when I got the current balances. But I'm looking at the wrong thing. You know, this is the problem when you're looking at two different reports. You forget what you're doing. Okay. I might not be as organized as I had thought. Okay. Current balances. Let me find this income. Sorry about this. While I do that, I will... Okay. I'm going to come back to that. I'm sorry. I think I've got... Too much going on here with two reports. This was the flaw in my plan, that I could kind of skip from one income to date. Here we go. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, I'm going to come back to that, figure out why the numbers are the same. So we have our income. Again, this is as of March, because for some reason I think I'm looking at the wrong version of it. I'll tell you what happened that's different. Since March, I basically, we haven't gotten any more income since March, all the membership dues were paid as of March, which was actually great because international wire transfers, everything just takes longer. It's more complicated. So thank you to all you treasurers of member Braille authorities for being so efficient, because we got all of the income in. And basically since March, I have paid expenses for, so ICEB pays for the president's travel, and we pay for the immediate past president's travel at the following GA, which is this one for Christo. So, so since March, I have paid. I need to be careful about that because I don't really mean I mean ICEB. ICEB has paid for the flight and the cost of the visa required for Christo to come to New Zealand, and has. Some of the work to help get the UEB, the third edition of the rule book, ready. We got the index linked, and there was a fee for that, $388.21 Canadian, to be precise. So that is sort of the difference of the amount that the income to date and the current balances, those differences are based on just basically those additional expenses. And the GIC is now at $21,089.41. So the actual interest over the last 8 years that we've made on this GIC is $1,089.41, because what originally went into it was $20,000. So I am pretty excited that we made over $1,000 in interest, and a lot of that was in this year alone because the rates went up quite drastically in Canada and in other countries, I believe, as well. So that is why we made so much interest on that. I'll just highlight some of the notes that I have in the report that kind of just to try to explain what happened with some of the calculations and why we did some of the things we did. And I'll keep it pretty high level and just let people ask questions. In 2021, we received the refund from the, so in 2020, you know, we had booked Christo's flight to that lovely GA that was going to happen in London. And of course it did not happen in person. And so there was a refund for that flight, but we didn't get it until 2021 because, of course, travel agents were refunding lots of flights in 2020. So the amount for the refund actually shows up in 2021, and so that is, if you're looking that over and you see that in 2021, that's why the refund was given back to ICEB in Rand, in South African Rand, and so. Hence, I had to resurrect the Canadian account because it had to go to Canadian dollars before it could go back into US dollars. It's super fun. Anthony Tibbs had been serving as the second signatory on the ICEB account. And he, at the time when that happened, he was the treasurer of Braille Literacy Canada. So it kind of made sense. We felt that he was, you know, reasonably, you know, we felt he was trustworthy. So even when his term as treasurer ended, he's still on the BLC board. And so we, you know, he has continued to be the second signatory and will do so until such time as I am no longer the treasurer, which could be, but we don't know, but probably will be maybe soon. his term, okay, I already explained that. In 2021, ICEB purchased a Duxbury license for the code maintenance committee officer at a cost of $695 US. And we also paid the American Council of the Blind for web hosting and domain name registration at a total cost of $134.95 US. And when you look at the treasurer amounts, there's sort of this, okay, we switched it, transferred to Canadian so that I could then pay off the credit card, which is obviously how I made those purchases. Okay, ICEB hired Matthew Horspool to manage the live stream and podcast for the midterm executive meeting, and a fantastic job he did too. And we are very thankful that he was willing to do that, and we you know, paid him some money for doing that. Some countries, and when the payments happen for membership dues, it was, like I have said in the past, it's rather convoluted. And so when you do the wire transfer, you have to calculate the money that your bank charges you, and that the ICEB, Bank of Nova Scotia in Canada, charges us. And so sometimes when countries were transferring the money, they didn't, either they or the people at the bank, somebody didn't quite calculate the wire transfer fee. And so sometimes a country, instead of paying $500, would pay like $4.95 or $4.90. And because currency rates fluctuate, it was really financially not worth it to recoup that $5. It would cost more for all of us to do that than not. So when you're looking through the numbers, as I'm sure you all will, if you see really odd, you know, you look at it and you go, well, why isn't it just, you know, $3,000 or $3,500 in membership dues? That's the reason, is the numbers weren't always this round $500. Sometimes countries, we got $515 as well. And the same, it's not that I didn't want to return your $15, but it just would have cost everybody more to do that. So that's another fun complication. In the spring of 2023, I set up a PayPal account to give member countries another way to pay their annual membership fees. So far, I have used it to pay for the linking of the index of the rule book, and the UK has used it to pay their membership dues. And I will pass on the information on this PayPal account to whoever the next treasurer may be, so that it can continue to be used. It doesn't cost us anything to have it, so it is a good second option if and when wire transfers are too convoluted for words. All right, Michael Lavin, treasurer of the Irish National Braille and Alternate Formats in BAF. He was the one who reviewed our financial statements from 2020 to 2023. And so basically the executive in 2019 voted that rather than spending all of our income on a financial review in Canada, which is now probably costing more than what we take in every year, we have a treasurer from a member Braille authority other than the member country of the current treasurer. So like, we wouldn't have someone from Canada review our statements, obviously. So we, Michael Lavin from Ireland has done it for the past 4 years, and he's done a wonderful job. He's, you know, you think you have the numbers all right, and then you get an email back from Michael saying, here's the calculation that you did, and here's the calculation that I did. Can you please explain? So Michael was wonderful. I know you're not probably listening, Michael, unless you're on the stream, but I can't thank him enough for how helpful he was and how gracious as well. And thank you, Ilka, for connecting me with him. So that's how we took care of sort of having more, just having more accountability. And I've told you that I will provide updates on the current totals, which I can go back and do. I also just wanted to make a note. We've talked in the past about doing some fundraising. There is an ICB. We have a finance committee, which I will close by talking about that. But one of the challenges with fundraising is that because we're not sort of officially registered in any country to issue tax receipts, and because every country has different laws around what you can fundraise for and what you can't and how you can do it and how much, it's proven to be a little bit challenging. I'm not suggesting that we should not do any kind of fundraising and try to. I totally agree with Judy about increasing our finances, because going forward and meeting in person, we certainly will spend more money than we have in the last 6 years. So I think that's something that we do need to revisit, or needs to be revisited in the next term. But it is challenging, and so we'll need to be creative on how this is done. In 2023, the executive committee asked that we create a document that outlines procedures and other considerations for treasurers to have on hand. And so I had put something together that the finance committee reviewed as well, and then the executive committee did as well. In closing, I would like to thank Ilka Steglin and Chivani Nechituni for serving on the ICEB Finance Committee for the past 4 years. I really have enjoyed serving as, maybe that sounds unbelievable to some people, but I really have enjoyed serving as ICEB treasurer. I do kind of like numbers. In spite of, or perhaps because of, the intricacies and vagaries of international funds transfers, once all of the expenses related to the General Assembly have been reconciled, I will begin the process of transferring the ICEB funds to the incoming treasurer. So thank you very much. At this time, I will
Jen.
Time, I will take any questions if
anybody has. Are there any questions?
DeAndrea,
go ahead. U.S.
Mike 2. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said the new balance for the GIC was.
It is $21,089, so $21,089.41.
Thank you. And did you give an update for the operations account, or is that the one that you said you would provide later?
That is the one that I... Oh, you know what? I have it in this. I'm going to open a different... I had the report open, and I thought I had the report that had the updated... that had the updated ones, but it... I seem to be looking at...
The March report. The,
yeah, mm-hmm. So I need to... figure that out. It's actually, I know the balances. The Canadian one is 184.49. Yep, and the operations one is 18,344.27.
Thank you. I have that.
And I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted for
the... For sure, yeah. Any other questions?
Yes.
You want to... There we go. We've got... Hello. It's not a question. It's a comment. You were talking about fundraising, and it just occurred to me that one possible solution to fundraising might be for a national entity to do it. If, for example, I'm not nominating them specifically, but if, for example, UKAF was to accept the money for an ICEB fundraising event that happened in the UK, then UKAF would be able to deal with all of that side of it, and then would just be able to transfer a balance into ICEB, and that may be potentially one way around the problem.
Yeah, that's a thought.
An interesting idea.
Yeah, it's definitely worth, I think, worth sort of talking through.
Mm-hmm. I think, though, if we're going to take up fundraising, we also need to think through, you know, what are we going to do with money?
Yep, absolutely.
And because we need, if we're going to fundraise, we need to fundraise for something.
And tangible things tend to be, when you're fundraising, right, tangible things tend to get people... Like, oh, they're raising money for X, Y, Z.
Right. Mary?
I don't know what happened to my May. Thanks.
I thought somebody else had to. Is this microphone numbering system making any sense? I mean, should we put them in some kind of order?
Yes, this is working, sorry.
Okay. Yes, Mary.
Two things. I've noticed that the associate membership category is plain empty. So maybe one of the things that ICEB could consider in the next term is to actually market itself to potential associate members. The other thing is to say, I know, Jen, that you have commented several times about the difficulty of international money transfers. As some of you may know, I'm one of the older members in the room, not the oldest though, I'm pleased to say. I have become aware that a signal of the beginnings of memory loss is when you lose confidence in managing financial matters online. And I get an annual buzz because I have to go in as the treasurer of the Braille Authority of New Zealand Aotearoa Trust and look at the $500 and work through the process of finding out how many New Zealand dollars that's going to be and then pay it in US dollars into a Canadian bank.
I know,
and,
sorry.
And when I first tried to do this, I ran into real trouble, and a wonderful, wonderful man in our bank's call centre with a Chinese accent stood beside me through the phone conversation and talked me through it. Well, that was about 8 years ago, and I went through the recording carefully and thought, what a silly twerp you are, Mary. And I wrote all the instructions down. There's been a slight amendment to those instructions because occasionally the bank does something silly. Well, they change something. But every year I get this buzz. I can pay Jen without having to ask Clive. And it's just really good. And I still am not afraid to do it. So I'm not sure how long I'll be the treasurer of Banzat. Jen, I want to thank you for the style of your invoices. They're very clear. You remind me every year you don't assume anything. And your bank, the Bank of Nova Scotia, has the lowest costs for international money transfers of any bank I've ever dealt with. So I hope you can keep that up. I think actually ASB has dropped theirs, and it might be in next time I pay them, might be less than yours. But it's just an annual pleasure to pay the bill, even if it isn't my money.
Thank you, Mary. That's lovely to hear. And I will say that almost every year, it's not a competition, but Mary is pretty much always first. So New Zealand, way to go.
All right, thank you. Anything else for Jen? Okay, as we said, there are times when some topics are going to take less time than we had planned. We've already dealt with two items of business that were currently scheduled for session six. So I also want to think about some topics so that we can have some open discussions about things. And I'm proposing that tomorrow during session six, when we deal with all the other topics that are scheduled for session six, I'm sure we'll deal with them before. It was already a session that I thought was going to end early, and now it definitely will. So let's have a conversation tomorrow about membership. The new member in Nepal is very inspiring, and how can we market ourselves or some to other countries who have an interest in UEB and might want to be involved with the work of ICEB. So let's have an open discussion about membership. If you also have ideas for topics that you think should be discussed during this GA, if you want to suggest them to me, I will put them in the places where they might fit. Okay? All right, we are, our musical group is going to be coming in. So they're here. And thank you. They didn't sing that, they just said it. who's going to be introducing our... Wendy Richards? Yes, Wendy is going to be introducing our musical group. Thank you.
Just letting you guys know on Zoom that we've turned all the mics off for this performance.